Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
I love that commercial for my friend Kim. Anyways, hello everybody. This is Natalie, also known as Stars with a Z Cast, and that's probably what I'm known as for the last, 22 years, or longer than that. When I worked for America Online, I was Stars Cast also. But I have an awesome guest today. You're going to be so excited to listen to her because she's got a great story, and I already know that she is super. She is super. So let's talk about the magazine. In about maybe 2 days, I'll be sending out reminders to my regulars. I don't leave it up to memory. I like to send you a notice and say, it's that time again. Come on, you know, where's your stuff? And, because people get so busy. And, you know, I'm not a high priority. Well, I don't think I am. Maybe I'm on their calendar. I don't know. But they're on mine. And so I'll email everybody, and then it starts rolling in. Sometimes it'll come in sooner. Sometimes it comes in the last moment in time, I don't know. But I usually start the magazine about, 3 days before it goes up. So it will go up on June the 1st. You can send anything, an excerpt, poetry, an article. I had something about golf last month. I mean, it can be anything. It doesn't have to be metaphysical per se. It doesn't have to be spiritual. It can be most anything done in good taste, of course. And I like an image with it, and you send it to stars with a Z, C-A-S-T, at mysticlivingtoday.com. And I'll get it, and I'll look at it, and I'm going to tell you I have yet to refuse anything that has come my way. I've been so fortunate that I don't have people playing games with it. You know, sometimes you have an address and you get all this garbly-do stuff. I don't get that. I don't get that, not with that anyways. So, and then also I want to tell you about Stars with a Z Psychics.com. Now, we still have a 10-minute reading for new clients only for $10, and you can have 15-minute reading for $15 and a 25-minute reading for $25, one time only, new clients. I also want to tell everybody, I'm meeting with my trademark attorney tomorrow because I'm going to trademark the logo that's on Stars Psychics. You know, it's got that drop-down Z. It's not like the Stars TV channel. It's none of that. It's different. And so I'm going to meet with her tomorrow. She's going to call me, and we're going to discuss what else I need to do and how long it takes. And I'll tell you why I've decided to do that at this time is because I have tarot cards that I had done 2 years ago, and she was an illustrator in Spain, and we still communicate back and forth because I might have to change the back of it because I have a drop-down Z in Stars, and the cards do not have a drop-down Z, so I want to protect it. So she said she could do that. I mean, she can do any of it. You know, they save everything, and they're beautiful. And they'll be out, you know, we'll be able to sell them. I have a tarot class that's going to be offered by Stars Amber, an astrology class. I'm trying to, you know, sometimes people just want to learn. They don't want a reading. They want to learn how to do things themselves. They, you know, they're curious. And if the prices are going to be so low, it's going to be wonderful. I do have a classroom off of planetstars.com. All the stars all over the place. But, we're going to be doing that. So, without further ado, I have a special guest here. I say that every week, but they are very special to me. She has a PhD. Don't let that fool you, though. I mean, she works in all kinds of mystical things and wonderful things. I'm so excited to talk to her. So let's welcome Megan Rose. Do you want me to call you Dr. Megan Rose, Megan?
You can just call me Megan.
I just call you Megan. Okay, so, yeah, I'll do that. So anyways, I've got her site up, drmeganrose.com, and I've been perusing it and going back and forth with it to see all the things that she's done. I want to start not at the very beginning, but kind of the beginning. Let's tell everybody what you do. Tell everybody what it is you do, Megan.
Sure. So I am a transformational psychologist and a holistic healing practitioner. And I have, as you mentioned, a PhD. It's in psychology. And I also have a master's degree from seminary in religion. So I have really applied my life and devoted my life to studying mysticism and spirituality, both from an academic perspective, but also from a practitioner perspective as well. So I am an initiated ceremonial magician, a Shakta tantric practitioner, and a fairy seership practitioner in the folkloric fairy faith tradition.
And I love fairies. I love that word. Some people spell it F-A-E-R-I-E. Some people spell it F-A-R-O-Y. I have a fairy tale that I've been writing, and I have been writing on it. But it's a very, it's not scary, you know. It's uplifting for young people. And the reason I want to get it out there is because I want people to believe in things that they cannot see, Megan. Because they are there. They are there. We all have. Well, we do. I mean, you probably more so than me, but I know for a fact. So how did you get into any, how did you get started? When you were in high school, did you say, I want to do all of these things? You have a Christian background, don't you?
Yeah. So, you know, I like to say I kind of came out of the womb steeping in contact with the spirit world. I was raised Pentecostal Christian. So,
okay.
You know, Pentecostals are speaking in tongues and laying on of hands and channeling the Holy Spirit. And so that was just sort of the waters that I swam in growing up as a child, and very powerful, very visceral, embodied spirituality, right? You know, where your body is the vehicle for contact. And that was all well and grand, but I soon discovered as a child that I could have some of those same mystical experiences out in nature just as easily as I was having them in a church service. And so that was really interesting. That made me very curious about what was going on, that, you know, it wasn't just this religion that was precipitating these, you know, numinous contact. It was something that was innate inside of me, but also something very much connected to the vitality of the planet. And so as I matured and, excuse me, became a little disenchanted with some of the more rigid teachings of Pentecostalism and Christianity, I began to explore religion in general, and that's sort of what led me into seminary and studying this material academically to really kind of ground the experiential that I was having with the spirit and with the spirit world.
Okay, so when you were, you know, kind of deciding what you wanted to do, how you wanted to move on, I'm sure you did, have any spiritual, what we would call spiritual thing, now these are people that are listening that might not know exactly what we're talking about, but did anything happen to you that kind of like said, okay, yeah, this is real, okay, I know what I'm going to do now? I mean, did you have some kind of a epiphany, or, I mean, there had to have been something that pushed you forth? Usually there is, anyways.
Well, like I said, this was just the waters that I swam in growing up. So speaking in tongues, having really powerful embodied spiritual experiences with the Holy Spirit, that was, you know, every Sunday and Wednesday and sometimes on a Friday night, you know, three times a week in Pentecostal Christianity is not uncommon to be in church three times a week. So, you know, to say, did I have one moment where it was more real than anything else? I would say there were many, many moments growing up as a child that enlivened this. What I can say is that as far as a sort of semi-miraculous experience, when I was less than a year old, I was born with a birth defect and in my kidneys. And I was going to have surgery. And so this is, you know, I'm not even a year old. So I don't remember. I don't remember a lot of, you know, this encounter. But what I know is that I was very, very sick for a while. And it was in the hospital. And they were planning to take me in to do this surgery. And my mother, my grandmother, my aunts, the minister anointed my little body with oil and prayed the Holy Spirit into my body. And that anointing, that indwelling or that placing of that powerful spirit in my body healed me, number one, so I didn't end up having to have the surgery. But it also really opened me up to the spirit realms so that, you know, growing up, I was sort of like my pants were on fire with this Holy Spirit energy, which later I would understand the Holy Spirit to be the divine feminine, the goddess, the feminine face of the divine. But, you know, growing up as a child, we just called it the Holy Spirit. And,
right.
You know, you think of, you know, for those that aren't familiar with Pentecostalism is about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit represented by tongues of fire. So there's this sort of fiery energy that is associated with the Holy Spirit. And so that was, you know, sort of like alive inside of me from a very, very young age. And I really spent most of my childhood trying to share that experience with everyone around me because it was so powerful. You know, it was this enlivenment, right? This vitality that was
and
just
you were so
coursing
little.
Through
and
my
who's
brain.
And who's going to listen to a little kid? I mean,
right?
You know, I mean, you can say, "Oh, I saw this," or "Oh, I felt that." Yeah, really, it's just all your imagination. So that probably was difficult for you, right? To convince people, you probably didn't even bother. Why should I convince you? I know what it is, right?
Yeah, I didn't really. It wasn't so much convincing. It was more, you know, really wanting to sort of quote unquote share the good news, you know, share
yeah.
this powerful experience that I've had and let others know that they can have, you know, that same sort of anointing, if you will. And so, you know, I was the weird kid on the playground telling everybody about, you know, her her relationship with, you know, the spirits, right?
Yeah.
And laying hands on my friends.
Yeah.
Laying hands on my friends and praying.
Lights on, no one's home.
Well, but, you know, the nice thing was that what I would say the gift was that I was my parents sort of understood this about me. And so, you know, in some ways I was sheltered or it was I was protected, meaning my parents sent me to a Christian school so that I was surrounded by not necessarily Pentecostals, but people who at least sort of understood the language that I was talking about. And, and we were very devout and, you know, in church all the time. So there was at least a framework that supported my unique sort of weirdness as far as spirit communication. But, you know, as I matured and, you know, because that, you know, I was very academically inclined. And so alongside of this sort of spiritual weirdness, I had this really like curious mind that really wanted to understand what the heck was going on with me. And so, you know, I later on in, you know, my teenage years, I sort of burst the bubble, right? The little insulated bubble that I was in. I went to public school. I, you know, began to really cultivate friendships outside of just the Christian bubble that I was raised in, because that, you know, I was really trying to understand the more transcultural, universal experience of spirituality, and not just within the confines of the upbringing that I've been raised in.
Of the regular church.
Really,
yep.
Yeah, that really put me on the path of being much more of a sort of mystic and really a seeker of spirituality, you know, and spiritualities in, you know, many different traditions and many different practices, which eventually led me to the holistic healing work, because that, you know, what I was really trying to understand is, what is this vitality? What is this life force inside of us that is irrespective of tradition, right? Some people
right.
call it prana or chi or orgone or there's a lot of different words that describe it, but it's this sort of innate vitality inside the human body.
You know, I was raised a Roman Catholic, but I was baptized not in a Roman Catholic church. And, you know, I didn't have anything like you had happened to me, but I was a very quiet child. I absorbed everything around me. Nobody knew how intelligent I was. Nobody. Not one person. I didn't even think about that. I just kept everything to myself. I don't even know why. I mean, you know, I would be in my room all by myself because I was the only child, right? And I occupied myself. I did a lot of thinking. I read books, but I did a lot of thinking. And I don't know. I was never bored. You know, Megan, I was never bored. I mean, I was happy to be alone. Kids would walk by my house, and somebody said to me one day, well, what did you do? And I said, oh, okay. I didn't cry. I didn't get upset. I wasn't jealous. I went and found what I wanted to do, sit outside in the sun and absorb the sun, or go in my room, turn the radio on, or get my book. It was easy for me. I mean, I kind of, when I think about it now, it was amazing what I did, because most kids are outside playing, all of that stuff, and if they came to get me, that was fine. But I always felt I wasn't a part of them. I don't know what it was. Nobody explained it to me. Now, you got to remember, Roman Catholic Church, okay, all that kind of stuff, all the gold and all of that. I started questioning that when I was probably about 8 years old. And I started really asking in my head, what is all this gold? What is, you know, this is called money, okay? Well, I didn't like that. And I still to this day, I don't like that. But it was almost like, and forgive me, God, it was almost like being brainwashed. You were told this and that and all of that. But I questioned everything. I wasn't really sure. I didn't know much. All I knew was, what in the world is this? Why do you have to go to church to talk to whoever you want to talk to? I should be able to be home, outside, wherever, and speak my mind or ask questions, right? Well, so that was my questioning. But I didn't really learn anything until I started. My parents died less than 5 months apart, so I was kind of curious what happened. I was the only child, and so I started seeking out people that did readings. And I met this girl, and she opened up my world for me. She was was kind of a strange one. I mean, I always thought she was kind of on the dark side. I trusted her, but, you know, I was kind of reserved, you know. And I started working for her, and then I started collecting all the money to this organization in Detroit. It was huge. All psychics, all readers, all spiritualists, all of them. I met hundreds of them. Well, that door that I was so curious about just flew open big time. But I didn't stay in that long enough. I ended up raising my son and all of that. I probably still had a yearning somewhere, but I couldn't do it, you know? And it wasn't until I got much older, and I'm kind of resentful about it because I just feel that, oh, I know, maybe I missed something, but I really didn't miss anything. I mean, I have access to so many people, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I know this. So, see, this was not like this for you. You were raising something different. I mean, if I would have talked about, oh, yes, I just talked to my spiritual guide, they probably would have, I don't know, burned me at the stake. No, they wouldn't have done that. But you know what I'm saying? They would have looked at me like, what are you talking about? Spirituality was not a part of the Roman Catholic Church. It was about Jesus. It was about God and the apostles and what happened. Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday, and all of that. That was it. That was it. And you took catechism, and that was it. But in a way, it kind of opened my mind, I think, Megan. I think it was probably good for me because now I can look back and I can see I did have some guidance with that. I really, really did, you know. But you had a great opportunity to venture into everything, which was so great. I mean, now, is there one area that you really like to delve into and teach about? Or let's get a little bit more in your background. Then I want to talk about your book, of course.
Sure. Well, I mean, I should, you know, just take a moment and say it's not that the Pentecostals were open to me having conversation with any spirit, right? It was the Holy Spirit. It was Jesus. It was God. I mean, even the Pentecostals are not that keen on angels and saints. Like, that's not part of the Protestant tradition. So, but the Holy Spirit is a very sort of open for interpretation kind of.
No, you're right. Absolutely right.
Being.
Yes.
And you know, like yourself, I spent a lot of time by myself out in nature, usually singing to trees and other, you know, features of nature, water, ocean, lake, whatever, as a way of connecting to what I thought of as the Holy Spirit, but what, you know, looking back, I sort of realized I was connecting to the nature spirits and to the spirits of place where I was growing up. But yeah, so, you know, as I became an adult and moved away from Pentecostalism and began to study more interreligious studies and then moving into more pagan practice and earth-based spirituality, really, my focus became understanding the relationships that humans hold with these numinous or otherworldly beings. And that, you know, is really the crux of my work and my practice, is helping humans step into knowledge, conversation, and sometimes deep, loving, committed relationship with otherworldly beings, with
right.
spirits. And I use the term spirit not because that it is not because we're talking about things that aren't real. The term spirit is the sort of biggest umbrella term that I can think of that encompasses a variety of different kinds of otherworldly beings. So anything that is not currently in a physical human body at this time, I would, you know, classify as spirit or spirit adjacent. So deities, angels, elementals, fairy, beloved dead or ancestors, even the sort of spirit of, or the spirits of nature would fall under that category of spirit. And so, you know, my practice and my research really has been around how do humans step into integrity and relationship with these otherworldly beings, and what's the purpose and why and how do we do it, and
exactly
what are the
how do we do it? I mean, you know, I have had things happen to me. When I almost died, I had something come to me big, and I have a sense, and I have, and I didn't realize it, I have this ability to help people. I don't even, I mean, I know them, but I've never seen them. And I always say to them, you know, say, gee, I need some help. I say, if your name isn't in the book, I can help you. Meaning, if you're not on that page that's turned over and it's time for you to go, I can help you. I've helped many people like that. I don't even know how. I think good things, you know, and I send them a lot of energy. And I don't know, Megan, maybe I have some kind of a connection. I will tell you that during the day and at night, not just at nighttime, I have these big high lights, you know, they're lamps in my kitchen. Well, they started blinking. And my sensor, oh, don't tell me they're going to all go out at one time. They're supposed to be good for a long time. I said, well, they're not all going to go out at one time. So I passed it off. You know, I didn't pay any attention. Now the lights can be on when it's light out, and they'll blink then. So this last few times that this has happened to me, I have, you know, I'll look up, I'll say, good evening, you know. Which floor are you? You know, I have one lady that was my co-host. I'm sure if she could reach me, she would. I just know it. And then I have some other people that have passed on and that, you know, not my parents, other people. And so I think sometimes the more you realize things are real, the more you're going to experience them. The more, now I don't know what that is. I don't care what it is. I know what I feel that it is, and that's the most important thing. But how does one get started to connect with the spiritual world? I mean, a lot of people have the desire, Megan. A lot of people are really, you know, clairaudient, clairvoyant. I can hear, but not by will. I can't say, well, I want to know what the answer is to this, and I get the answer. No, it doesn't happen for me like that. It really doesn't. You know, I can hear my phone ring, and it's not really my phone ringing when I wake up. You know, things like that. Yeah, I don't have to go into all of it, but, you know, things like that. So I guess I have some kind of a connection. When I'm in that world that I'm just about ready to wake up, and I'm sure people listening will say the same thing. You're not really awake, but yet your senses are really right on. I mean, you can hear, you're not getting up, your eyes aren't open, but I hear. And so I don't know. So, like, how does one really make a better connection, I guess is what I'm asking you. How do, use me as an example. How can I do that? Or maybe I don't need to do anything.
Well, it really depends on your intention and the purpose, right? What are you wanting to make contact with the spirit world just to be, you know, curious and see what's out there, which is fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with, you know, curiosity and being interested in otherworldly realms, but we tend to have more success if we have a kind of focus, if we have an intention, if we have a purpose. And I like to encourage everyone, you know, whether or not you have connection to spirits or deities or angels or whatever, we all have ancestors, right? We all have those beloved dead that we that are inside of us, right? That are in our blood, in our bones, in our tissue. And
yes.
If you know, if you go back far enough, we all have ancestors that worship this way, right? That practice a form of animism, right? A form of earth-based spirituality.
Right.
And so I like to encourage people, and you know, when I was trained by my mentor, Orion Foxwood, who's a British traditional witch and a fairy seer, we started with the ancestors, because the ancestors are the ones that really open the doors or bar entry to these otherworldly realms. And so, you know, one of the simple practices that I encourage my students to begin with is to create a simple ancestor altar. And the ancestor altar isn't about piling it on with every single ancestor that you've known. It's about consciously choosing those ancestors that you want to work with, that you want to draw upon, that you want to be in relationship with, right? So if, you know, Uncle Albert was kind of a jerk and not to be trusted, don't put Uncle Albert on the ancestor altar, right? Begin with the ancestors that you know, like, and trust. And then also, you know, leave a space for the unknown ancestors, the ones in your lineage, the ones in your history that were the magic workers, right? That were the spirit workers that knew how to do this work. And an ancestor altar does not have to be some big elaborate thing. You know, it can begin with just a candle that you light to illuminate the memory, to illuminate the passageway, to sort of light up a space in your home that says you're welcome here. And that practice can be as simple as lighting the candle and tuning in to the ancestors and saying hello. It all begins with hello, right? Because we're talking about relationship development here, whether we're talking about relationship to a deity or to a spirit of place or to an ancestor. It's all about building a relationship, and you wouldn't show up in a new relationship and be like, I need you to do this for me and this for me and this for me.
Right.
You would start and you would say, hello, welcome into my home. Here's a cup of coffee or here's a snack.
Right.
And
just do general talk rather than say, well, now that we're connected, I want you to do something for me. No, it's not that. You don't do that.
It's common courtesy. It's common hospitality. And so, you know, and you can put pictures on the altar, you know, as it grows and as the contact develops. Or you can have, you know, something very typical to have on the altar is, and this may sound a little morbid to some of your listeners, but to have a skull, like not actually a human bone skull, but like, you know, something that represents a skull, like a carved stone. That is the representation of all of those unknown ancestors that you don't necessarily have a name and an identity before, but that that are the ones you're wanting to be working with and inviting into a living memory. And then, you know, you may have work or things that you need to do to heal your ancestors. You know, the Iroquois saying is that when you heal yourself, you heal seven generations behind you. And so, so a lot of this work is doing healing for yourself and for your ancestors. If there was patterns of trauma, I mean, this gets into epigenetics and, you know, a whole other conversation path, but, you know, if there was trauma in your family, you may need to do some healing work around that. I mean, I shouldn't say if. I mean, we all have trauma in our families to varying degrees, right? So, you know, the healing work, and sometimes we have ancestors that that need us to do particular things for them, you know, and that's part of the exchange as we show up and we listen and we ask, you know, what do you need? What is going to put me in right relationship with you so that the roads can be opened to contact? And then often the other world or the other beings in the other world will start arising as a result of this ancestral work. And that is often a very safe and grounded way of approaching it, because the ancestors then sort of introduce you to the spirits that want to work with you, whether those are deities or ancestral, you know, what are called familiar spirits, etc.
You know, I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking, I know some of us probably feel, oh, gosh, why can't I connect? Why can't I? Well, you have to start someplace. And the way I have a very huge crystal. It's a raw crystal that I got. It sits on my desk. Actually, it sits on one of my monitors on the base right in front of me. But, you know, I get so caught up in what I'm doing that I don't bother to do anything with it. What I should do is start my altar with that crystal because I love it. I have another one, too.
Beautiful.
That is the Book of Records. I have that one that was given to me also. It is humongous. I should put that one there. But then, like you said, you put some things that are from your ancestors, from whatever little things you have. And once you start, I think, that's an important thing. I didn't even know that that's how you begin, because, you know, the spirit world, they need to know that you will welcome them, that you're not afraid, that you're inviting them. You're opening your door, and you're saying, you know, here, come sit with me. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. Just sit with me, you know.
Yeah,
You know, I'm an only child. I'm home alone a lot, and I am very open to all of this. I have a granddaughter who's just like me. And but first of all, you have to be open to this kind of thing. You can't scoff at it. You can't say, "Oh, yeah, that's stupid. That's not." I believe it. And I believe it because of the work that I'm in, and I know that everything happens for a reason. You and I finally connected because we were supposed to. You could have said, no, I don't want to talk to her, but you didn't do that. Of course, Gail is your publicist, right, Gail Tor?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, Gail is a dear friend of mine. And when I wrote her, I said, okay, I want her. She said, okay, I'll try. And she always comes through, you know, usually she comes through. So the best thing to do is to start with your altar, right, to create something that is just yours, and it's from, like, your people that have passed on. Now, can it be something that makes you feel good, or can it be something that doesn't make you feel good that you should put there, or what?
Well, I would definitely start, like I said, with the ancestors that you have a benevolent relationship with, right? An easeful, loving,
right,
copacetic,
okay,
relationship. I wouldn't put any problematic,
right,
ancestors on the altar. There's a different practice and working and a whole, you know, that's a whole other enchilada, that working with difficult ancestors. But for setting up contact and for establishing your sort of footprint in the other world, the ancestors are a great way to start, because that you have a connection to them already, right? Like I said, they're in your blood, they're in your bones, they're in your DNA, so they're easy for you to reach through to. And in some cases, we knew our ancestors, whether they were parents or grandparents or, you know, family members that we knew and loved. So they're easy for us to reach through to and to feel their presence, right? Sometimes we can hear their voice. Sometimes we have powerful visitation dreams where they show up and give us information. Sometimes we can just sense their presence with us. But, and you know, part of the ancestral work is remembering the special dates, remembering their birthdays, remembering their death days, Mother's Day, Father's Day, those kinds of special days. We leave out a little extra offering for them. And an offering is as simple as a cup of water, a stick of incense. It depending on who your ancestors were, culturally there are offerings that are left out for ancestors in different cultures. So you can leave out what is customary for your ancestors from that particular culture, leaving out cakes or treats. If you have critters in the house, if you have pets, you want to be mindful of the offerings so that it's nothing that's going to be toxic to them. But also, with offerings, you tend to leave them out for 24 hours and then you compost them or, offer them to the earth. So it's not like you're leaving out food, like a banquet of food,
right,
every
right.
day.
or a piece of cheese that's going to eventually get all moldy and all that kind of stuff.
Mold,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. So you don't want anything to mold. You leave it out.
I have another question for
you.
What if it's not an ancestor? What if it's someone who you had this affinity with and she was taken away without warning?
That's
the lady that co-hosts with me, and her and I did a show, Megan, for quite a few years, and she passed suddenly. And I mean, I have, talk about an altar, I have all of her cards that she sent to me on my dresser. I can move them onto my altar, or I could have my altar on my dresser, right? All of the cards she sent to me, and she sent me this, I have a piece of jewelry, and then I have this huge giraffe, because I love animals. And the December before she passed away, she sent me this huge giraffe. And in the inside the giraffe, like standing up, was a blanket. And the blanket I cover myself with when I watch TV or I have dinner, because I eat, I'm watching TV and stuff. I mean, it's very dear to me. Now, you can still have, like, her on the altar. It doesn't have to be a relative, correct?
It doesn't have to be a blood relative. So we would call that either a beloved dead or an ancestor of spirit, right? So we have ancestors of blood and bone, but we also have ancestors of spirit, which are like spiritual ancestors that were, sometimes they were teachers or mentors, or they were, beloved dead who are sort of on the other side and a contact or a familiar spirit that we work with. And they can absolutely be on the altar. And it doesn't have to be somebody that you knew in real life either.
It could be like a great grandparent. You have a picture, but you never knew that person. But you didn't know them, but you knew who they were and that it passed on. I know what you're saying.
Or a spiritual teacher of a lineage that you study. So you might not have known the teacher, but you might have benefited from their the materials that they left behind, the things that they wrote, and you feel a very strong affinity to them and to their teachings, and so they might be an ancestor of spirit or a beloved dead that you have on the altar.
It's funny, though, Megan, I think I already have an altar for her on my dresser because I have other pictures there, but I guess I should take it. I mean, I can put it in my office, but she's on a shelf right above me looking at me. I have a picture of her there.
She might have her own altar, right? So you might have one that is for your ancestors, and then you might have her, because you had such a strong relationship and such a strong connection with her in life, she might just merit her own, her own thing.
Oh, yeah, she would have her own. She would have her own. She, it's something, you meet somebody. She was just so wise. She knew so much more than me. I learned a lot from her, though, you know. I mean, she came in my life at the right time. I didn't, but she always thought of me like a sister. And when I talked to her husband said to me, you know, I'm going to tell you something. And he said, and this shocked me, he said, she loved you more than anyone on earth. And I said, well, I know she loved me. He said, I'm telling you, even she loved you more than she loved me. She told me. And, if I had any questions, I mean, she was really a great psychic. She could, we'd laugh. I'd say, convene. My big word was convene with your guides. Convene. Okay, let me convene. That was my big word with her. We'd laugh about it. But, I mean, she was just so gifted and so wise, and we just, it was instant, let's put it that way, for us. And she worked for me. She worked on my site for a really long time, and we did the show, and she wrote the blog. But she just, like you, Megan, she knew so much. She was very well-rounded. You know, I was kind of just learning. I'm still the novice. I mean, I run all these sites and everything, and I'm good at servicing people, taking good care of you. I can do that with my eyes closed. But she never worked with me, but maybe she did and I didn't know it. But I'm going to tell you this, and we're going to talk about your book. About a week before she passed, now, yeah, I didn't have any idea this was going to happen, right? One of my sounds was a strum of a harp. I heard it. And I asked her. She said, well, what do you think it means? I said, well, it's something angelic. It's telling me something. She said, well, you'll figure it out. Well, it was the angels telling me they were coming for somebody that was very important to me, and it was her. I'm certain that's why I heard that. I've never heard it again. Yeah, it'll be her. I'm going to work on that. I feel really good about that. I think in her own way, she tries to reach to me. I think she does. But maybe she's just, you know, thinking, well, you got to do something here. You got to, okay, come on, you know, invite me. But that would be wonderful. That would just be so wonderful.
Yeah.
For me and I. It really, really would be. And I'm going to work on that. Now, let's talk about your book. Spirit Marriage, Intimate Relationships with Otherworldly Beings. It came out this year, correct? Is it out right now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm going to go to it on your site because I am on your site, and it's Dr. Megan, M-E-G-A-N, Rose.com. I've been looking, perusing over the whole thing here, trying to look at everything, and you teach classes. Are you teaching anything right now?
I have a self-study program, Spirit Marriage 101, that is a class that people, it's a self-guided class. So I invite people to deepen with the material of the book, practices, exercises, the workbook. I mean, it's a really robust, lovely class that people can go through at their own pace. And then in adjacent to that, you can join. I have a group program that is running that people can join at any time for support, right? So there's a group
right.
of folks that are all my students and have read the book and or done the courses and
yep.
are practicing spirit marriage themselves. And so we do a ongoing group program for people so that they can meet other folks, because it can be, you know, a little isolating this material because you're just sort of, you know, in your relationship with your spirits. And so I really am very passionate about connecting people to other like-minded individuals so that you can, you know, get some support from me, but also get some support from your fellow
practitioners. Oh, so it's better that way. It's absolutely better that way. Now, how do they sign up for the self course? Where do they go? I mean, I'm seeing it. But where do they contact you first?
I am just I am just getting ready this week to launch the open enrollment for the self-study course. So I'm assuming
you have some kind of a newsletter. Like, say I wanted to get into that. I wanted to join this and all of that. I should sign up?
Yes, sign up for my newsletter. And by the end of the week, there will be a link right there on the homepage where people can go and sign up for the self-study course.
Okay. All right. Now, this book, where did this come from? Why did you write? I mean, you've written other books before. I mean, this is not your first book. Obviously, I think it's because you feel it's important. Because sometimes people have relationships with beings and they don't really even know it. I don't even know. I could, and I don't even know it. I mean, I do have this affinity with somebody. I've never met him. I know who he is. I feel him. I don't think there's a, I shouldn't say, don't ever say never, Natalie. I don't know that I will ever meet him. However, in the beginning now, Megan, I felt I was so hurt because I thought, I don't have a chance. I'll never see him face to face. But then something happened to me, and I stopped being upset. I don't know what it was. I don't know if I talked to somebody. I don't know if it was just I had some angelic help, like, we got to get her to knock this off because it's going to destroy her. She's got work to do. She doesn't have time for this. But now I feel his presence a lot. Not like right at this moment. And now, can that be some kind of a connection, a spiritual connection? They don't have to be past. They don't have to be dead, right? They can be, it could be just coming from them, and they might not even know it. But I wanted to ask you about that. What does that mean?
Well, it sounds like what I think I heard you say was that you feel like this is a living person, but you have a sort of soul connection with them, and you don't know them or you haven't met them.
Oh, yeah, he's alive.
I mean, that's a little bit different than the material that is in the book, and kind of a whole different avenue of inquiry. That's more like, you know, twin flame or twin soul spirit.
Okay. Well, let's move on to what's in your book. Let's move on to what's in your book. What is discussed in your book? How do you start? I have some questions here. Why are bonded relationships with spirits needed now more than ever? Well, come on. I think we all need a dose of help. I think we all, the world can be such a depressed place if you look at it, but to me it's a beautiful world. I don't look at it like that, you know. So why do we need them right now more than ever?
Yeah, so let me back up and just to explain what spirit marriage is. So we've been talking about spirit communication and spirit contact with otherworldly beings. Spirit marriage is a sort of, if you will, advanced stage of spirit communication or spirit contact, and it is when a human and an otherworldly being step into a bonded, committed relationship. And I use the term marriage because it's the most readily available understandable term that conveys the idea of commitment, devotion, and showing up on the regular, right, for this relationship. And just, you know, very briefly, this is a transcultural practice that has been in effect since the beginning of recorded history, probably earlier. It shows up all around the world when humans and a deity or a spirit companion say, "I do," to each other. You are, in essence, sharing your life, sometimes sharing your body. So there are other terms for this, like an indwelled spirit or a merge where you and this bond, this spirit companion, have a kind of co-creative consciousness that you're sharing together. What my mentor, Orion Foxwood, who is married to a fairy being, says when he closes his eyes, he sees into her world, and when he opens his eyes, she sees, his fairy wife sees into his world. And so there is a kind of merging that happens between your consciousness and the consciousness of this otherworldly being. And so unlike companionship of a spirit or channeling or mediumship where, you know, you sort of pick up the phone and you're talking to them and then the connection ends and you go on your way, or maybe they show up and say, hey, I want your attention here, and you, you know, communicate with them for a while. A spirit marriage is a continuous relationship that is now formed usually through some sort of a ritual marriage that is often witnessed by the community and has vows, and sometimes there's rings exchanged and there's a wedding ceremony. All of that is part of the spirit marriage. So it's a very specific, highly focused type of practice that frankly appears in almost every religion as well. I mean, if you think about the Virgin Mary and her the Immaculate Conception, that is a kind of form of this type of relationship.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How?
So that's what,
I mean, a lot of people would like
about
to have this, Megan, but they don't know how to get it started. I mean, because obviously it can be very fulfilling, but the first thing of it is you have to believe. I mean, that's a big thing for me. You know, and you have to wait. I mean, things take time. You know, timing in another world is different than our timing, and everybody wants everything now. I want it right now, now. Well, I started off as an astrologer, and I know that doesn't happen, like, now. So how does one, do they start with, like, your course? Do they get your book? What do they do? What can we do? What can I do?
Sure. I mean, the book and the course are certainly a great place to start if you're interested in deepening. You know, I mean, we discussed, you know, if you're trying to just get communication going with the spirit, with the other world, start with the ancestors, right? If you have communication going and you have spirits that you know, like, and trust, and typically the spirit marriage is something that is often at the behest or the request of the spirits. But that doesn't mean that you can't woo a spirit like you would woo a human partner that you might want to have a more bonded, deepened relationship with. But it, again, it's all about relationality, right? It's about showing up, having the conversations. I call it the three D's of spirit marriage: devotion, discernment, and discipline, right? We want to devote ourselves to the relationship. We want to make sure that we're being really discerning about who we're entering into these relationships with. Just like you would want to get to know a potential human partner, you want to really get to know the spirits that you're communicating with. And then discipline is just the showing up day to day, building the relationship, getting to know.
I just signed up for your newsletter, and all of these principles are there listed, like you're talking about. And I've always, you know, it's just how I am. I'm not as gifted as you are, but I'm gifted in other ways, I think. I know. You know, we all have our own ways of doing things. I make people feel really good about themselves, even when they're at their lowest. I don't even know how I got out of what I was in. You know, my husband had Alzheimer's, and I kept him home, and he tried to hurt me. He tried to kill me every single day, but I didn't want to put him anywhere, but it was horrible to watch. But I learned from that. because I had Jesus appear before me. I had help. You couldn't see. There was no doubt in my mind. And I think that just cemented what I already knew, was having stuff like that. And I think everybody gets things that happen, and some people ignore it, and they say, ah, that's not real. I didn't really see that. I didn't really hear that. None of that. So the first step is to take your course, and then you will be shown how you can actually connect. Is that part of it, or do you offer something else? Obviously, get your book. I mean, that's, you know, that's all over.
I give a lot of exercises in the book for establishing, you know, the practice. What I like to say is, you know, even if you don't have a spirit that is reaching out to you, asking for, you know, a commitment, we all have a divine self, right? We all have an aspect of ourself that is nested within the divinity, and we can absolutely get to know that aspect of ourself and step into a deeply loving, committed relationship with our own divine self, right? Whether you, you know, and there's words and language for the divine self, in many, many different traditions. So that is something that everybody can get to know. And we talk about that in the course, and there are practices for sort of seeking the divine self, which, you know, I can't go into now, but I think, you know, that is a great place to start. Start with the ancestors if you're trying to get communication going. Start with your divine self if you're interested in a bonded relationship with a otherworldly being.
Right. Well, I'm going to start my altar, and it's going to be about my friend. Her name was Maya. Everybody knows I was at Maya Moon, my Maya Moon, you know, and I have beautiful things on my dresser, and I'm going to start with that. And maybe that's what she's been waiting for the invitation. You know, ancestors, I don't really know. It's funny, I really didn't know my grandparents. I'm kind of a strange kid. I was a strange kid, you know. I have scars on my knees, like my legs are put together, attached. I have strange things with me. But I'm going to start with that. And I'm also going to get your book and sign up for your newsletter. Sign up, people. Go to Dr. Megan Rose, DrMeganRose.com. And she's got on that homepage, she's got a place to sign up for her newsletter. And then you're going to see something that opens. It says Three Keys to Spirit Marriage. And you'll be apprised of what's coming, I'm assuming, you know, what you're going to be doing, and that's important. But I will also put your book in my bookstore. I just have to go over and get some stuff from it, and then I put it in there, and it'll be there. And I am so honored that we connected today. You are a world of information, and I guess I'm kind of in awe that you even wanted to talk to me. Why did you want to talk to me?
Oh. because, you know, when you spend your time and energy and love and devotion on writing a book, you know, you want everybody that is interested in the material to have access to it. So, you know,
I
appreciate your invitation.
And otherwise,
they
wouldn't even know
invitation.
Who you are. Now, I'm going to put a little note when I send it off to Twitter. They wouldn't even know who you are otherwise, unless they hear of you, or unless they go looking through all the books. I'm assuming it's on Amazon. They go looking through all the books that are out there, and you've done other books, but this is your latest book. And I don't know. I mean, I could talk about your other ones, but I think right now in this time and day and where we're at, this is the one people should get. I mean, and then they can see your other ones if they want to purchase those also. But
just to clarify, Natalie, this is my first full book that I've written.
Okay.
I have been part of anthologies, And so those are, but it's been a number of years. So I spent 15 to 20 years writing this book. It was a very, very long process. It was the material for the book was my PhD dissertation that then, when I finished that in 2019, I turned it into a book, which is much more, you know, commercially friendly. It's not quite as academic as the PhD dissertation, but really this has been, you know, the lion's share of my focus for the past 20 years.
I'm really glad you got time to do it, and I'm really glad you finished it because it's very, very important. And it might help people who are alone, okay, but you're not alone. You know, you gotta reach out.
Exactly.
You got to reach out, people, and I really think your book will help in this time, in this world, because, you know, I entertain myself. I just watch movies. I used to watch the news, and I got so sick and depressed, physically sick, because I can't do a thing about it. And I, you know, and I feed my animals at night. I have 8 deer that come to me at night, and I feed them. And I have 4 mallards. I have a repertoire here, and I'm really in with the animal kingdom. And I have a bunny, and I have hummingbirds, and I have a cardinal, and then I got a blue jay today. So my son laughs at me. He says, yes, and you're going to be singing on the mountain because you've got all these animals and things around you. One little girl, my friend, it's her granddaughter, she said, you have a farm here. I live in a place called the farm. Is that funny? She said, you have a farm. How do you get all of this? I said, because I love them, and I think they know. They know. But you are a wonderful lady. Don't stop what you're doing, and I signed up for your stuff, and hopefully we'll connect again, and I'm going to get your book because I think that's imperative. I think that's a good start. I think you really need to do that if you really understand what this is about at all. And you have an awesome day. And be safe.
Thank you so much, Natalie. Thank you for having me. And it was a pleasure to talk to you today.
And same here. Okay, have a great day. Okay, everybody, I hope you enjoyed this. Let's see, what do I have coming up? I have to look. I'm going to be off 2 weeks. Actually, I have some hand surgery that I have to have done. I can still talk on the phone, and I don't have anybody set, let's see, for the 1st and the 8th. So it'll probably be 2 weeks. I don't know. I'll see. If somebody wants to come in, doctor me. You know, I mean, I can still walk and talk. It's not a big deal. It's really, really not. It's something that takes 5 minutes, and I'll be good to go, and that's exactly what I need. So if you want to send me some healing, go ahead. I'll take it, everybody. But anyways, so it'll be 2 weeks, unless you see on the site, unless you see on StarPsychics.com, stars with a Z. I always put a notice up at the right corner of who's going to be my guest, okay? And then Candy, you'll see it on Facebook and Twitter and TikTok and Tumblr and all of these things. And I'm going to connect with Megan on her Instagram because I know she's got Instagram. And I think that's important, too. We got to stay connected. She's on Facebook, and she's on YouTube. Of course she would be on YouTube. But anyways, I'm going to leave you with this, like I always do every week, and that is believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And for that, I'll say goodbye. Have an awesome day. Take good care of yourselves. Be safe. And I much love to all of you. Bye-bye.